The title of this message, are you ready, Case? The title of this message is Believing the Unbelievable. I was under pressure to come up with a title. I didn't have one. Sounded good to me. Have you ever had the Lord just completely shock you? Good. I'm not alone. So, a few weeks back, me and my wife were at a home group and for our local church, and we were celebrating Christmas, and they showed a movie called The Nativity. And we're watching it, and the movie starts out with Zechariah, the priest, being in the temple. And he was the one who would be the father of John the Baptist. And the Lord appears and to him. And the movie was great. Sometimes we read over things and when they get so common, it becomes very common to us. And we forget how holy and how precious God's word is and the message is. And we can also begin to forget what it was like. These people are just like you and me. Have you ever thought, what would you do if God showed up or he sent an angel to speak to you? It could happen. It could happen. So in the movie, how it appears is he's before the incense and smoke begins to arise, and out of the smoke a voice comes. And he begins to tell him, the Lord's heard your prayer. And we all know the story. He begins to say, Lord, it's too late. We're too old. You know, that time passed for us. And the Lord tells him, or actually the angel, he tells him, he said, because of your unbelief, you're not going to be able to speak until this takes place. I believe that was the absolute mercy, sovereign will of God, so he couldn't curse what was going to happen. He couldn't speak against it because of his unbelief. So the Lord said, hey, I'm going to do you a favor here. You're not going to speak. So anyways, we know what comes to happen. They do have a baby. John the Baptist is born. Then the next scene is Mary. An angel appears to her, a virgin, unmarried. God will never do it how you think. I know if I was in her shoes, I would, or actually if I were God, I would have thought it'd be better to include mom and dad in this dream. Hey, mom and dad, just want to let you know, your daughter has found favor with me, and she's going to conceive a baby, but it's going to be me. But in the movie, and according to scripture, he just appeared to Mary. And in the scene, here she is, and everybody knows now she's showing she's pregnant, and her parents aren't too happy about this. As their daughter stands there, and she's trying to explain, I didn't do anything wrong. It's God. Yeah, right. I have found in my own life, in my own experiences, there's often times when God tells you stuff and you stand alone. Nobody else will believe you. Actually, what amazes me about Mary is the fact that she even said, you know what, Lord? According to your word, be it unto me. That's easy when God says, oh, hey, here's a blessing. I'm going to pour out my blessing on you. Here's a great thing. Man, it's going to be great. Well, hallelujah, I want that. According to your word, I receive that. What do you do? Poor Jeremiah, you didn't get that when he's telling people, you know, we're going to be destroyed. We're going to be destructed. It's not always great. It's not always how you think, but it's God's will. It has to be about him. We have whatever he says, Lord, right? So anyways, in this, this scene's taking place, and her parents are arguing with her, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me so loudly, so profoundly, I know. I actually looked around the room, and I thought, did anyone else hear that, or was it just me? Shook me to my core. And the Lord said, whew. I'm about to start speaking like this again. Unbelievable things. Unfathomable things. Amazing things. And it scared me. Why? Because when you get these things, it doesn't always happen quickly. I know I thought about this. I've been studying on this word now for a few weeks. I wonder, did Mary ever struggle? Is this really going to happen? I know I do that. I have things that the Lord has spoken to me years ago that have never come to fulfillment. But even months, you're going to have a baby from God. Impossible with man, but possible with God. And in that time, that delay, things can become very difficult. That's where faith works. That's where we have to leave our comfort zone and you just believe. And I want to go back to something, actually, the last time I ministered here, and I know the Lord has keeps bringing it back to me. Philippians 1, 6. It's his work. It's his work. So, when he speaks to you these unbelievable things, and you doubt, and you think, God, did I really hear you? You just trust, Lord, if it's you, because ultimately there's nothing we can do to make it happen. And God purposely sets things up like that because he will not share his glory. There was no way Mary could make herself pregnant. Could not do it. God puts us in situations where the only way that it can happen is him. And you know. You know. It's just like I remember last week when we prayed for that little boy, and Pastor Unger gave the testimony about he was the one burnt in the fire, and it was a one in a million chance. You know, that's God. My God is a one in a million awesome God with a love that's so unsearchable, so amazingly hard to understand, that he would choose to love us and operate through us. Wow. I wouldn't do it that way if I was him. I wouldn't use me. I make mistakes all the time, but he chooses to overlook our shortcomings and our failures and encourage us and love us and say, you can do it. What's impossible with you? In your weakness, Paul says, that's where my strength is. So I believe that word that he told me ties to Joel. And actually, Peter actually quoted the scripture in Acts chapter 2, where he said, in the last days, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And Peter says, this is the time he declares it on that first day of Pentecost that they were talking about, that Joel was speaking of. I believe this is the latter rain of that. We're about to see God move in a way that is going to shake the earth. Things, everything in our world that hasn't been built on him is being shaken like never before. This nation is being shaken like never before. Our economy, the economy of the world, is being shaken like never before. There's fear all over in the world out there. And I know a lot of people, me included, I would love to see things just get better. I don't know if God's going to do it that way. He could, he may. But even if he doesn't choose to do it that way, are you okay with that? Maybe he just begins to move upon his people. I know as I was preparing this message, the Lord reminded me about the cripple at the pool where the angel would come and he would stir the water and they would wait for their healing. 38 years it said that man waited. Did he get discouraged? Was it hard? We're people. It had to be. It had to be. But I'm here to tell you, if you're hearing this, whether you're here, whether you're listening to it over the internet through a download, if God spoke to you, and maybe a long time has passed, that word, if it was the Lord, it's not dead. God watches over his word, and he will perform it. It just didn't happen the way you thought. The Lord, I believe, told me something. Israel, we all understand, how many will agree that there's types and foreshadows in the all throughout the Bible. Amen? I believe Israel was a type of the church. In this, she missed her visitation, and I believe this was from the Lord, and he gave me this, and he said, many people, and in that, the church, people are going to miss him this time. This next move, we know there's going to be people who think they're going to make the rapture, and they're not going to make it, and they're going to cry out, Lord, Lord, in your name we did, and but he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. Preconceived ideas will hurt you and cause you to miss what God's going to do. What amazes me is the priests of the day when Jesus was coming. They were looking for Messiah. The church today is at that same place. We're looking for Jesus to return. And the priest, I believe, had gotten pretty comfortable, though. It was a pretty cush place to be. They kind of had it going on, according to what I've understand and have learned. They lived way better than the rest of the people. I think they pretty happy with the way things were, and they just got complacent. We as humans can so easily get complacent with the Lord. We like to be comfortable. We don't like change. And when things are going along good, we're happy. I believe that's part of the shaking that's going on. God wants to wake us up. He uses bad things to get our attention. if we're not hearing the good, however he's got to get us, he's going to get us to listen and wake us up. And I believe that's a lot of what's going on. But what I found interesting is they would come out to Jesus, the scribes and Pharisees, at different times. And they there were even points where they would ask him, tell us plainly, are you the one? There were things that looked like it was him. They recognized scripture. He's coming in on a donkey. He's doing these things. But it wasn't the way they thought. They were looking for the second coming. They, even the disciples, you know, would ask Jesus, well, isn't it time? Let's just go build your kingdom and let's get this done. And that's how it's going to be. But they missed him. That wasn't how he came that time. That's how he's coming back. But then he came as a lamb. And they missed it. I know ever since that, it's always on my heart. God, don't let me miss you. I don't want to miss one move, one word. I want everything that you have. I'm so hungry for you. It's time we get hungry again. I believe if we're going to be successful in stepping into this new move when things begin to change, and I think things are going to start changing radically, I wish I could explain to you how, and it wouldn't do you any good if God began to speak to me and tell me this is what it's going to be. Da-da. I have never correctly filled in the blanks. The Lord gives you a word. You have some understanding to it, but we hear and we see in part. So I know, just like everyone else, I have to walk in faith and let and trust the Holy Spirit's leading to get me where I need to be to fulfill this, to be what he wants me to be. It's his work. He'll complete it. So now it comes back to the what are you going to do when he tells you, go raise the dead? Have you ever thought about that? I'm going to share an experience with you I once had. I believe, actually I know I just shared this when we got here with Mom and Dad. It's one of the things that I'd been struggling with a little bit when the Lord told me this. There have been times when I know the Lord spoke to me and I stepped out as best I could at the time to obey, but it didn't go how I planned. And to be quite frank with you, I got mad at God. Have you ever been mad at God? I have. A few years ago, one of our dogs got really sick. Very unexpectedly. And actually then, I didn't know that he was going to make it. And I felt like the Lord gave me the faith, and he just said, you begin to speak and pray over him. And so I did. And I remember I would drive down there by myself in the middle of the day when no one knew. He was in a hospital in critical care, kind of a situation where they would have to, you'd have to wait till the nurses could get you back there, and you could just stand with him. And my dog could no longer even stand up. And I would just lay my hands on him, and I'd just speak the word, "You're not going to die. God says you're going to live." And within a very short amount of time, and I know it was God, he healed him, and the doctors even said, "We have no idea what was wrong, why he's better. It's a miracle." And he had gone from one day I was there, and he had lost so much weight and strength, he couldn't even stand anymore. He would fall. And they let me take him that day, what they thought was going to be my last time with him. And I would kind of have to hold my hand under him so he wouldn't fall when he would walk. And we had him on the grass. Anyways, long story short, God heals him. 6 months go by. And it was just like, you know, our old dog. But 6 months later, he's sick again. He's not doing good. So we took him to the vet. And this time, something inside of me just said, I wasn't even worried when we dropped him off. And it was just, and God didn't speak this, but God, you didn't heal him back then to let him go now. And so with just a great peace, we dropped him off, and you know what, we'll pick him up. He's going to be fine, expecting, you know, 24 hours, 48 hours, we would have him back home. Well, the middle of the night came, and I got a call, and it was the vet hospital, and they said, "Your dog passed away." And all of a sudden, this faith just shot up in me. And I can't say it was God said in this moment, but I don't think this faith was me. I'd like to say I just have this kind of faith all the time, but, you know, I can't answer that, honestly. I don't know the answer. But when they said it, I grabbed the phone and I said, "Don't do anything with the body. I'm on my way." And I knew, God, I just felt this, God's going to raise him from the dead. He's not going. And so I immediately jump out of bed and I begin to get dressed. And my lovely wife calls my in-laws, your pastors. And I can hear her conversation. I'm in the closet getting dressed. We have a walk-in closet, and she's on the phone. "Daddy, Tim has lost his mind. You need to pray for him. Our dog died, and he's going down to raise it from the dead." And I know I rattled her. And we had a friend of ours who was living with us at the time. Well, I'm jumping the story. So as I hear that, I know I stop, and I got in the shower, and I just began to pray. And I didn't even know what to pray. I just began to pray in the Spirit. And long story short, we're leaving. I go, and there was a friend of ours living with us, and I go and get him, and I told him what happened, and he's a minister friend too, and I said, "You know what, his name's Tony, you all know him." I said, "Tony, Romeo died, that was our dog's name, but I said, I believe God's going to raise him." And he said, "Let's go." I said, "Give me a minute, and I'll get dressed, we'll go." So all three of us jumped in the car, and we ran down there. So we get there, and he's just laying on this metal table. And my wife comes in, and she pets him and gives him a kiss and says her goodbyes. and she leaves the room. And so me and Tony, we begin to pray. And I don't know if it was 10 or 15 minutes, but there was such faith in that room. And I know I would find myself every couple minutes, I'd open an eye to look, is he breathing? I just knew. Well, a technician walked in the middle of this. I think we scared the tar out of her, and she ran back out. But you could feel, excuse me, the minute she opened the door, all faith just was sucked out of the room. And I knew as soon as the door closed, it's over. And me and Tony both looked at each other, and I know he grabbed my hand and he said, Tim, let him go. It's done. And so we left. And I know I often, that wasn't a time I was confused, I guess would be a better choice. I was disappointed that God didn't raise him. I suppose, you know, and God owes us no explanation. And that's something that we have a hard time with. Who are you to tell a king and ask him why? I mean, if in our culture, we don't grasp this. We're the democracy. We think, you know, we can go to our president. We have the right to give him a piece of our mind. Kingdoms, you can die if you upset the king. We kind of miss that fact. I mean, God, he's God. And just as any king, you better not disrespect. We need to take that same fear and respect. Not that we're terrified, but who he is. He owes me nothing. Maybe he will. Maybe he won't. But it did bring me a lot of confusion. Anyways, I shared that with Mom and Dad. And I asked him, I said, I don't know why. And I didn't tell them at the time this word. So when God tells me, he says, you know, I'm going to start speaking these unbelievable things. And it was like, God, I've walked down this path a few times. And so far, it hasn't ended well for me. And Dad said, you know what? Maybe God just wanted to see if you would. Maybe it was just a test. Would you go out? Would you do it? I don't know. I think I did learn another lesson from it. You know, when Jesus, there was a time when he went in, and I think it was a little girl to raise her. He chased everyone out of that room. Everyone had to go. If I was ever in that situation again, I'm pretty sure I would take this with me. I would lock the door and no one would be in there with me but me, or if I felt, you know, they were coming in with the faith. So maybe it was for that. Am I going to raise the dead? I don't know. I can't say the Lord's ever told me that. I know there was one other time in my life. I was not a Christian yet. I was about 13 years old, 12, 13, and my uncle died very unexpectedly. I think it was Thanksgiving. Next day, he just died. Kind of the patriarch of our family, because my grandfather had died when I was very young. And at his funeral, there was something inside of me. I knew Jesus could raise him from the dead. And with that, I just stared at the casket the whole time, not knowing, but with this, you know, hope, maybe God would. So, I don't know. I know there's people that will. I believe there's coming a time when there's going to be such mass healings. People will walk in who God sends into a hospital, and the hospital will be emptied. I believe that. I don't know if it's going to happen here. I don't know if it'll be in another part of the world. But I know God is going to finish this bigger than how he started it. He is not going to be outdone by the devil. And the devil, with all this stuff that's going on, and yes, there's going to be a counterfeit. We all know that. But yet at the same time, don't let that stop you. Don't let fear stop you from trusting God. We are going to have to go to a deeper place. You know, actually, I forget where it is, but I know there's a place, and I think it was Paul. That's a good guess to guess if you're going to guess, because he wrote so much. But where he says, you know, it's time to get away from the milk and grow up and leave these things, the basic things. There's places, I believe, that you're not going to find it here in the Word of God. Because, and I believe God orchestrated it that way. Because there's places he wants to take us that it's only by faith, trusting in him. The ability to trust him like that comes, and I'm not there yet. I so desperately want to be, but it's in a relationship with him. When you know him so well and his love so well, you know he would never hurt you. So if he says, jump off this cliff, you know he wouldn't do anything to your hurt. Okay. All right, Papa, here we go. Maybe you're going to catch me. Maybe an angel will pick me up. The unexpected and unbelievable's going to be happening in the near future. I think even in America. Maybe things are going to get so bad, it's going to take that. Maybe it won't. I don't know how he's going to do it, but I don't want to miss him. I know a few years ago, actually it was before 99, I know it was before Y2K, the Lord told me this, and I, at the time, didn't have much understanding. I know he's had me study a lot about the story and the man since. But the Lord spoke to me clear as day. We were in Idaho, and the Lord said, you're going to be like Joseph. And at the time, I immediately just knowing, sometimes for me anyways, when the Lord speaks to me, it's just like you just know what he meant, what he said, understanding with it. Well, it was kind of like that when he told me, he said, you're going to be like Joseph. And I immediately thought of the wealth. And he said, and in my mind, I literally had the thought, oh, money's coming. And he answered me, or how, I don't think it was an audible voice, but I feel this answer in my spirit. And he said, no. He said, Joseph saved nations. Because of him, nations were saved. And how do you wrap your head around that? I know at the time it was right before Y2K, and bless my wife's heart, she has stood with me as this foolish man has tried to follow God and really missed the boat at times. But I literally thought, okay, well, Y2K's coming. I guess we're supposed to go out and get property, and I need to get provision set up for people. And, you know, you read about Joseph. And so I tried to do that. And bless her heart, she said, honey, go. And I literally went across this country because the Lord wouldn't tell me any more than that. And I just, everyone's saying, you know, Y2K is, world's going to come crashing to an end. And so I thought, this has to be the time. And so God's not telling me anything. And so I'm going to step out on this word and I'm going to act. And this is the best I know to do. So I believe that when I saw the property, the Lord would tell me this is the one. So I literally went across this country and back, and the Lord never spoke. So you get home, oh well, and as crazy or bold, whatever you might call it, I'm also have enough smarts to know that God, if you're not in this, it ain't going to work anyways. So there was no, by no means was I going to make something happen. But, you know, I've heard many people say, you know what, if you get a word, it's up to you to do your part. So I just, you know, was thinking maybe this is my part. But needless to say, the Lord didn't speak. There was no way I was going to jump out and do anything else without the Lord's direction. So I just came home. Been waiting ever since. What does that mean? I know I had a friend of mine call me up, and out of the blue, we hadn't spoken in a long time. She said, Tim, I know I'm supposed to call you, and I want to encourage you. And she said, I don't even know why I'm calling. Needless to say, long story short, we're going back and forth. She shares with me, God told her she was going to raise someone from the dead. And I'm like, oh, wow. She said, he's dead and he's been dead a year. And she told me, she said, you know what? I told people, so I began to, you know, apologize. I'm feeling like a fool. And she said, the Lord told her, spoke to her, and he said, she was complaining to God about it. Why would you speak this to me and not do it? And the Lord rebuked her and he said, you're just mad because it didn't happen the way you thought it was going to happen. What I spoke to you, I'm still going to do it. It's going to be my way. And when I raise that man up from the dead, he's going to be more useful to me now than he's ever been. He was a minister. So maybe you're hearing this and you've had dreams that you've just given up on, something you felt like God placed in your heart. I'm telling you, God's going to watch his word and perform it. Maybe you've never heard God speak something like that. Get ready. Get ready. Our God is going to show himself awesome and powerful, and to him be the glory and honor forever. Amen. If you're listening to this on the internet, I just want to give you an opportunity. Maybe you don't know him. Something, you don't know why, and if those in the audience right now, if you just begin to pray, he is real. He's so real. And if you'll just ask him into your life, he'll change it. It's simply by believing. Just say, Jesus, come into my heart. What you're feeling right now, that's the Holy Spirit. You need to ask him to forgive you of your sins, and he will. And he'll make you a child of God. There's no other way to come but through Jesus the Son. So just ask him and believe. Say, forgive me. Come into my heart and make me yours. And then I encourage you, after you do that and you've meant it, tell someone. Write the ministry here if you don't have anyone, but let someone know that you've accepted Christ, and watch what he does. It'll amaze you.